This is the Voice of Freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time, and I'm still William Cooper. Conference 97, Day 1, 7:30 p.m.
However long he wants to cover what he's going to cover, I'm going to introduce you to one of our good people, Mr. Richard Martin. He's an attorney. In his hometown, they've been doing quite a few things to wake people up, cause them not to fall into the deception that's being hoisted upon them. And it's extremely interesting what he's going to be talking to you about. And it's another, it's something else that you need to hear to make you understand that you don't have to accept all this stuff the way it's presented to you. And you don't have to fall into these deceptions. And you're not just a lonely, you know, there are things that you can do. And you can fight back, and you can win. Now, just before 8 o'clock, you're going to see me over here dialing up on the network to rerun this tape. Don't pay any attention to me. You're not going to hear anything whatsoever. It's just going to go up on the satellite so our affiliates can play the tape for the people who were working this afternoon and didn't get to hear it. Okay? So, without any further ado, Mr. Richard Martin.
Thank you, Bill. Good evening, everyone. I feel very honored to be on this stage, able to talk to you. I've been a listener of the Hour of the Times since 1993. My wife bought me a shortwave radio, and it's been all downhill ever since. I got to tell you, my life has changed dramatically since then. It kind of goes back a little farther than that, and I want to share a little bit with you, because there is a spiritual component to this, and I want to make that clear. that is a result of that. Excuse me just a second. There was a radio playing in the bunkhouse. What happened was, is going back historically, for me, I was raised in a Christian family. I was one of these people who got A's in religion. I was always trying to do, I guess, the right thing as I grew up. But as I moved into my teenage years, I kind of rebelled, as we all seem to do. So I rebelled against the power structure. I was raised Catholic. I kind of threw all that off and decided I was going to make my way in the world. I'd kind of fallen into an interesting adventure in sales in high school and enjoyed that. So with Vietnam staring me in the face, I decided to enlist. And while I was in the military, I had a similar experience to what Bill had, in that I began to see things that made me question. I went into the artillery section of the armed services. I took tests to test out of Vietnam. I really did. I didn't believe in the war effort. I didn't speak that loudly about that back in those days, but I felt that if I could test out, I wouldn't have to kill anybody. And so that's what I did. As a result, I enlisted for 4 years and went through a period of, a shakeout in that being based stateside and watching what was happening during the 60s and living very, very close to Kent State University and having friends at Kent State. We went through a lot of gymnastics and a lot of mental gyrations during that period. I became interested in law. During that period, there were some things that were going on with my friends that had enlisted. They did not get what they thought they should have gotten. They filed a lawsuit against the military. Very interesting situation. The case ultimately was dismissed on the grounds that the civilian court had no authority to command the military to give these individuals what they had enlisted for. Rather technical dismissal. But suffice it to say, I began to get more and more involved in reading philosophy and psychology and law. So when I came out of the military, I went and enrolled at the University of Akron in Ohio, and I went on through 7 straight years of educational process and ended up with a law degree. So I got this law degree, and at that point, it was just a matter of making a living, if you know what I mean. I wasn't really into any causes, so to speak. We were going to make our way in the world, and we did. We syndicated properties. We traveled. I set up corporations in a number of states. We had all this going on, and by the late 80s, it became very clear to me that what we had set up, we set up on a very tenuous basis, because we were relying on government policy and raising money only to find that these policies were being reversed, changed, disassembled. I was watching assets being crushed together, the destruction of the savings and loans, which was the middle class banking system. I saw all this taking place and quite frankly came very close to bankruptcy in 1990 over all this. Looking at it from a philosophical standpoint, you can always say three strikes and you're out. I mean, the first attempt at destruction was the war effort. I felt that I was being positioned to be destroyed physically, killed. A lot of my friends were killed, maimed permanently in the war effort. And then the economic destruction that took place in the 80s, that was strike two. So before strike three, I decided that it was time to change course. With the help of my wife, my lovely wife out there, she had a very profound spiritual effect on me, and I returned to my faith. In doing that and giving up control, it was the beginning of a new completely new way of living. And that's something that I wanted to talk about before I even talk about what I'm going to talk about tonight, because the reason why I'm even here now talking to you about the things I'm going to talk to you about is because of that faith experience. And in giving up control, I came to realize that I could actually follow a direction, not of my choosing, but of the choosing of my Savior. So, with that in mind, and again, not to be, wherever your Savior is, not to be blowing any particular religious horn, but to basically say that without that component of faith, I don't think I could have gotten beyond what was happening to me and to my family and to my business. So, with that little background, let me tell you what's happened in our town. We have a very interesting situation going on right now. We have something called a city seal. Now, some of you are probably familiar with what I'm talking about. Some of your cities probably have seals. I don't know if you can, certainly can't see this, but I'll describe it to you. This is the City of Stowe official seal. Now, this seal was created by the founding fathers of the City of Stowe. The City of Stowe is located about 30 miles south of Cleveland, Ohio. And the City of Stowe was a rather rural area, and it was founded by a number of individuals who felt that they wanted to incorporate a little town about 30 years ago and make this thing a nice place to live. So they create this seal, and the seal has embossed on it a tracing of the state of Ohio, the shape of the state of Ohio. In the upper left-hand corner is a cross and a book that could be discussed as a Bible, but it's not. It doesn't say Bible, it's a book. On the upper right-hand quadrant, there's a house. On the lower right-hand quadrant, there's a scroll and a quill, and an inkwell. On the lower left-hand corner, there's some drawings that look like factories or buildings with smokestacks and smoke coming out. What this seal was to represent to the founding fathers of Stowe was the spiritual component of life, the home and family, education, and industry or commerce. So this seal was adopted and had been the official seal for the City of Stowe for all these years. Now, a complaint was brought by a citizen, allegedly, to the city, brought to the city law director, who, by the way, is an elected official, which I'll talk to you about in just a minute in the conference that cropped up around that, that situation. His complaint was that the cross in the book was a Christian symbol, and as a result of that it must be removed from the seal. So, what happened was, this matter was raised in what's called executive session. Now, if any of you know what executive session is in small city government, it is done behind closed doors. It was to be discussed confidentially, and there were supposed to be some decisions made, which ultimately could have led to some legislation, maybe, maybe not. But the point was, it was supposed to be private. Well, what happened was, one of the members of city council leaked this information to her husband, who was the editor of a local newspaper. In leaking that information, that individual then transmitted that information to the national newswire. And on the national news, up popped the Stowe City seal. And the fact that there was this Christian symbol on the seal had to be removed. Well, within days after that, a letter came in from the local ACLU. And the ACLU was siding with the citizen and saying that it was their intention to sue the City of Stowe unless they removed the city seal. And they quoted some other areas of the country in which this litigation had been successful. So this started this little adventure. Now, you have to understand from my perspective, listening to Bill since 1993, and having a background in philosophy. My major at the University of Akron was philosophy. So I knew who Hegel was before I heard Bill's program, but I think Stephen Jacobson talks a lot about Hegel. We should have this pretty well memorized by now because of all the Stephen Jacobson has been played. Thank you, Bill, for that. Hearing it over and over again makes it very real what he's saying. As you know, the Hegelian dialectic is used by the Illuminati, the powers that be out there to do some interesting things. Here is the way we, this is myself and others who taken up the charge against the ACLU. The symbol on the city of Stowe Seal is a symbol in a what's called a secular collage. We believe that it is constitutionally correct to have it there. It is not establishing a religion. Does not violate the Establishment Clause. Does not infringe in any way on anyone's religious freedom of any kind, and does not interfere with the prohibitions in the Constitution that discuss the parameters for religious freedom. So, we now have a collage which represents freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and the right to self-govern. And this ties into what we talked about today about freedom. And I'll get into that a little bit more as I explain how this is unfolding. Here is what the dialectic purported to do. And it worked very, very well in the city of Stowe. Only this time, they got caught by me. Now, let me tell you what happened. Here's what they had done. They created a thesis. As you recall, Hegelian dialectic is a three-pronged process. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Right. Okay. Thesis. Create the problem. Raise the issues of, quote, freedom of religion and separation of church and state. Instead of freedom of expression, freedom of religion, and the right to self-govern, which is really what this is all about. Antithesis. Destabilize the community with religious debate. Now, you know, and I know, when you get into religious debate, what is going to happen? Okay? If you set the definitions in law, as you know, a lot of you study a lot of law out there, you know, once you set the definitions, you lose if you accept the definitional reference. Now, if the definitional reference is a religious problem, there's a big problem. So the citizens came out in mass on both sides of this issue. And people came into the community on both sides of this issue. It became a very heated discussion at City Hall, and they had public hearings on this, and it was unbelievable what was going on. Synthesis. Change the debate from save the seal to save the city. You see, this is what's going on in this arena where the council folks are sitting there looking at each other. All these people are getting up and basically putting forth religious perspectives in City Hall, and they're looking at each other going, our city's going to unravel if we don't do something. So if they change the ACLU is successful in changing the debate from save the seal to save the city, thereby leading to only one possible outcome, and that's the removal or repeal of the seal, which is exactly what the ACLU wanted in the first place. So this was a perfect example of the use of the dialectic. They couldn't come into the city of Stowe and say, take that seal off the wall. They couldn't do it because no one would let them do it. It would have run them out of town on a rail, wouldn't it? But by creating this religious debate, which turned into religious warfare, as perceived by the folks in City Hall, they felt the only solution was to remove the seal. So, what happened? Well, the first thing that happened was the city had its meeting, and they had their vote, and they voted to remove the seal. In fact, there's a little headline right there. It says, and this is in our Stowe Century, our local newspaper, which, by the way, is a rather nice newspaper. It's not connected to to any of the large newspaper chains. So we're very fortunate to have a small publication in our town that we can get press in. So City retires, City Seal. Expresses hope for community healing, it says. Residents can participate in future design. So City Seal was retired Thursday in a 4-3 decision by City Council. Various council members saying it was the hardest decision they've ever had to make. More than 200 people listened as the council president proposed an amendment to an ordinance to repeal the city seal. So, they repealed the seal. Well, what happened then? We decided that this wasn't such a good idea. Part of that was because we did a little research on the ACLU. And I'm going to read a little letter to you. It was a letter to the editor about the ACLU. I'm going to explain a couple things about this organization. And I'm going to let the rest of it sink in before I go any farther. Let's check the origin of the ACLU. That's the American Civil Liberties Union. Regarding all the recent controversy with the ACLU, let's check the origin of this outfit. The letter continues. The American League to Limit Armaments was founded in 1914. Now, isn't that interesting? The American League to Limit Armaments. What are we fighting about right now? The right to bear arms, aren't we? This is how this organization started, 1914. Organizers of the League were Jane Addams, a longtime socialist, later exposed as a secret member of the Communist Party, John Hayes Holmes, another socialist leader, later active in the Communist Party, Stephen Wise, socialist, later active in communist activities, Morris Hillquit, a founder of the Socialist Party and a later paid agent of the Soviet government. In 1915, the League changed its name to the American Union Against Militarism and began an intense anti-draft campaign. In 1917, an anarchist socialist named Roger Baldwin reorganized the group into the National Civil Liberties Bureau. In 1920, he changed it to the ACLU and became its director. Harry F. Ward was chairman and Louis Bundes was publicity director. Ward was exposed as a secret member of the Communist Party. Bundes was a top official of the same party. Roger Baldwin was director of the ACLU for 30 years, from 1920 to 1950. In 1935, Baldwin stated his objective as follows, quote, I am for socialism, disarmament, and ultimately for abolishing the state itself as an instrument of violence and compulsion. I seek the social ownership of property, the abolition of the property class, and sole control of those who produce wealth. Communism is the goal, unquote. Then he didn't listen to the individual who wrote this letter. Do you think this old turkey has changed its gobble? Now, right? Now, armed with that information and much else, the city of Stowe, some citizens of the city of Stowe, I should say, decided to form a little organization. And the organization is called Concerned Citizens for Constitutional Freedom. Now, what's the purpose of forming a committee known as Concerned Citizens for Constitutional Freedom? Remember, I told you about definitions, didn't I? If we accept the definition that the seal is the establishment of religion issue, we lose, right? If we talk about issues of freedom, we have a voice, we have a chance to make a statement, don't we? Now, what happened was, we put together a little brochure, a little handout, and that's what this seal, little seal stamped on here, and it says, quote, for God and country, save our seal. Freedom of expression, freedom of speech, right to self-govern, equal protection of law. These four freedoms are indispensable to a free citizenry and a constitutional republic. Now remember what Bill is talking about. We didn't say in a democracy. There's a reason for that, because had we said that, we wouldn't have been able to do what else we've been trying to accomplish here. The preservation of the seal for the city of Stowe is not about freedom of religion or separation of church and state. It is about freedom, reason, justice, and fair play. It is about rejecting the notion that the people's freedoms are, quote, fair game for any person or group who would deem such freedoms to be, quote, out of date or, quote, offensive, unquote, and therefore unnecessary to the preservation of free peoples everywhere. The selective, quote, attacking, unquote, of the symbol that exemplify these freedoms must be stopped. Preserve our God-given freedoms for God and country. Speak out. If not now, when? What, quote, freedom, unquote, will be attacked next? Speak out with your signature. Speak out with your vote before it's too late. Save our seal. Now, on the reverse side of that little handout was a little explanation of referendum. Now, some of you have probably been familiar with this concept of referendum. A referendum is the placement of a law to a direct vote of the people. There's a very strict timetable for processing referendum, as you know. So you have to do it correctly or you can't get your issue on the ballot to take it to the people. So what happened was we gave them this little document that said the purpose is to approve or reject Stowe City Council legislation. Remember, they voted to repeal the seal, didn't they? On February 27, 1997, Stowe City Council voted 4-3 to pass Resolution 1997-28, which retires the Stowe City seal within 2 years. The reason for this new law to retire the seal is the existence of the cross and the open book in the upper left-hand side or quadrant of the seal. Pressure from the ACLU and other sources led to this vote after much public debate, most appearing to support the retention of our seal as a historical reminder of the origins of our society and as an expression of our freedom. Nevertheless, our council voted to retire the seal. Some believe that the citizens of Stowe should decide this issue and then encourage council to act apart from pressure or legal threats to do what is right for our city. Therefore, petitions are being circulated among the citizens of Stowe so that a sufficient number of signatures of registered voters will be obtained to place this issue on the ballot at the next general election. Generally, after enough signatures are obtained, the ballot language will deal with whether you agree with Resolution 197-28. You will have the opportunity to reverse council or agree with the legislation to retire the seal. That tells where the petitions are going to be. So what we did was this. It's kind of funny how this all came about because our little committee decided, well, they asked me, they said, well, where should we go? I said, let's go to the post office. Let's take a car and we'll park it in the post office parking lot. Now, in the city of Stowe, the post office is a very busy place on Saturday. So we had a car with a little, we were going to put a car with a little card in the window and, you know, or a little flag thing, and we're going to have some people out there to get signatures. Well, one of the committee members called the postmaster and asked if we could do it. Now, what do you think that the postmaster told him?
No.
No. Now, was that a correct answer?
No.
Right. The correct answer was yes. We could do it. How could we do it? Well, we could do it because we got the law. Here we go again. Get out the law and read it. We could do it as long as we were in the parking lot, as long as we didn't interfere with any of their business, as long as we did not go inside their building. We could be outside in their parking lot, and we could do anything we wanted. So we did. So we got 3,000 signatures in 10 days. And for Stowe, that's unbelievable, because there were only 30,000 people in the whole city. We only needed about 1,200 signatures to get it on the ballot. We get 3,000 of these signatures. Now, here's the other thing that happened, and I can't stress this enough. The press begins to get involved. Now they start waking up, see? So now we have the Cleveland press coming down to us. We have the pre-Cleveland media. We have NBC up there. We have CBS. We have Fox and ABC. Well, the local news organizations want to talk to us, whoever we are. Well, we decided to set this up like a militia, okay? we decided that we would not have everyone talking to the media. We had a spokesperson. I can't stress this enough to you. You get involved in one of these little projects, have a spokesperson, make sure the spokesperson knows what to say and says only that. And so calls were referred to this person after a facsimile transmission was sent to each of the media with the information that we exactly wanted them to see. That was this handout, the petition itself, the information involving the petition effort, all of the legal documentation. That's all they got. And they were going nuts because they wanted to talk to somebody about this. They wanted more information. Well, we wouldn't give it to them. So the first thing that happened was we sealed the communication lines. We made it extremely narrow because our goal was to get our signatures. Okay? It wasn't to the grandstand, and we got them. So we became silent once again. And we got them, and we're still silent. And we will be silent until about 2 weeks before the election. Now, in the meantime, the people picked this up. Letters started coming in to the editor, pro and con. The ACLU in Cleveland that was responsible for this fiasco is up with a front page story on the Knight Ridder newspaper. Front page, whole thing. About the seal situation. And so on this little program, it was paid for by them, and they actually came on set with paid for by them. They had a law professor from one of the Cleveland law schools, and they had the director of the ACLU, and they had some other folks on there, the little question and answer thing, and they tried to pin down this law professor to get him to say that the interpretation, the Supreme Court's interpretation of this separation of church and state issue is strict separation of church and state. That's what they tried to do in this TV thing. It failed, because that's not the law. So even in their own program, they couldn't get the law professor to say what they wanted him to say, because the strict interpretation of separation of church and state, even if it were the issue, which we're saying it's not, is not the Supreme Court's position. Okay? Some of you may have seen the static about Muhammad is on the mural at the Supreme Court. I don't know if some of you heard or saw that on the national news. And there was an outcry that Muhammad didn't look right or something, and then they wanted to take him down, and the ACLU got involved, and on and on it goes. So selectively attacking these things, using this what I call paper tiger argument. Now, did the city of Stowe back down? Yeah, they did. Sure. Does it happen all the time? Yeah. It happens all the time when people don't stand up and fight. You have to make a stand. We're using this as an opportunity to make a stand. Whether you agree or not that the seal across the book on a city seal is a secular collage, should be there or should not be there, to me, is not the issue. The issue is to educate people about what's going on, who the ACLU really is, and who they're connected to, and what is happening. We had some very interesting things happen in City Hall that night. Some interesting handshakes were extended. After the vote, we watched who gave them. We watched who they were connected to. We watched the organizations that were behind the press to remove the seal. The law director for the city of Stowe is a member of the Masonic Lodge. Okay? Now, very interestingly, when the handshakes were flying around, and the rest of this business began, being aware of this and transmitting this information into the committee so that we could do something about it was very, very important. So what we started doing was taking out the searchlight, and you turn this light on, and you shine the light on these people, and they scatter. And that's what started to happen. Because the more we began to assemble our information and the more we began to frame our response, which is in the form of an attack. It's like Bill says, we don't defend, we attack. So we're on the offensive now. We're going after the ACLU and what they stand for. And quite frankly, what they stand for is for the elimination or destruction of anything to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a fact. And they are connected to the entire, you want to call it the Illuminist movement, call it whatever you want. Now, to me, it's a communist organization. And there isn't any way to deal with that organization other than to just go after them direct. So we did. So what we have done is prepared some information to educate our citizens. The first thing that happened was one of the councilmen, and this is all it took, one of the councilmen for the city of Stowe came to us and said, "Help! I want to save the seal. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how to do it. Will you help?" We said, "Okay." So we wrote a speech. Okay? We wrote his speech for him. Now, I'm going to read you a little extra excerpt from the speech, because I want to give you a little idea of why our law director now is in a position, according to one of the 32nd degree Freemasons who talked to me about this, they say there's going to be an atonement. Now, that sounds like a religious term to me. But what's happening here? Because this law director has gone outside of the... what do I want to say?
Protocol.
Good. The protocol for the lodge. Now, why is the law director outside the protocol of the lodge? Press. Guys, gal, press. Here's what's happened. Here were some closing points on the seal, some things to ponder. This was read into the public record, by the way, Stowe City Hall. You're ready. Freedom of expression and equal protection of law are valid constitutional principles that are deserving of enforcement in our free society, our free constitutional republic. Our government is based on the rule of law. It should not be based on the whims of any particular group or the popular vote of any particular sect, religious, or otherwise. The ACLU has seen fit to launch an attack against the right of the people of the city of Stowe to freely express their views. The freedom is guaranteed by the Constitution for the United States of America and the Constitution for the state of Ohio. The right to exercise freedom in a constitutional republic must be protected, even if the protection of those freedoms has the power to offend. Now, how many of us have heard this little New Age tactic? If it offends somebody, don't do it. Isn't this the New Age horn that's being blown today? If you offend anybody, I mean, don't do it. We all got to get along. Well, we're not all going to get along. All right. The ACLU has seen fit to launch this attack. The right to exercise freedom in a constitutional republic must be protected even if those freedoms do have the power to offend. The ACLU has not seen fit to launch its attacks against other, quote, symbols. The symbols they deem to be offensive. Symbols are all around us. At the Stowe Cemetery, many obelisks stand in testimony as the symbol of the, quote, regenerative force, unquote. Such symbolism rooted in the ancient mystery religions long predating any religion based on a cross and a book. Even our glorious capital in Washington, D.C. was carefully constructed with the use of spiritual symbols that dominate the landscape. The Washington Monument, obelisk, the reflecting pond in the front of it, the Capitol building off in the distance, a pyramid and an eye set in a blaze of glory adorn the $1 bill for the United States. No one can say that these symbols were not spiritually intended. You see who we're addressing this at?
You see how we're poking this up? Okay. The seal of the city of Stowe has never been and never will be anything more than a secular collage representing the various aspects of the community. Spiritual in the upper left quarter, home and family in the upper right quarter, industry or commerce in the lower left quarter, and education in the lower right quarter. I think we can all agree that the seal as it appears in 1997 is dated. The house symbolizing family is out of style. The quill and scroll, although historically significant, are not used today in education. The smokestacks representing industry and commerce do not reflect the character of Stowe's business community because we live in a retail-based small business community, so we don't have smokestack industry there. The book and the cross speak to a time when the spirituality-dominated forces identified its meaning for those who created it. This is classical freedom of expression. The seal is freedom of expression. Maybe the seal should be changed and maybe it shouldn't. But this right rests with the citizens of the city of Stowe. It does not rest with the whims and ambitions of any one particular force, power, or charitable group such as the ACLU, who, by the way, is a 501c3 tax-exempt charity, which it is, and must operate within certain Internal Revenue Service restrictions. It would seem to me that even a small encroachment on the right of the people to freely express their views in public forums and in private is a severe blow to the freedom guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States and that of the state of Ohio. It would seem to me that these rights must be protected. It does not appear to me that the law director for the city of Stowe has any of these freedoms in mind and has not put forth a zealous defense of the city's position in regard to this matter. But, on the contrary, has played into the religious debate that has grown up around this issue framed by the ACLU, leading to the inevitable conclusion that in order to protect the constitutional rights and privileges involving freedom of religion and or separation of church and state and or any other religiously oriented view, the seal must be removed. Now, talking about the law director here, an advocate is to be zealous for his client. The law director's client is the city of Stowe, the citizens for the city of Stowe. The debate is not one of religion. The debate is about freedom of expression and speech and the right of self-government. In the event any group, ACLU or otherwise, would attack the city of Stowe, the legal department has an obligation to defend the city of Stowe with all its might and to file whatever counterclaims and cross-claims involving clear violations of due process, equal protection of the law, and any other action that would be in the best interest of the community. If a lawsuit is filed, I do not feel that the law director will use his best efforts to defend the position of the city, because the law director has played into the framing of religious issues foisted upon him and the community by the ACLU. An advocate does not take the research of his opponent, present it to his client, and argue in favor of the opponent's position. This is clearly not an acceptable approach to advocacy in relation to these issues. The approach so far by the law department has been to do nothing more than to destroy any viable argument that the citizens of the city of Stowe possess in relation to constitutional rights and privileges, and those rights and privileges are certainly worthy of a zealous advocacy. The citizens of the city of Stowe do not have to, quote, defend religious freedom. An attack can be launched against the ACLU to do whatever is necessary to protect freedom of expression, speech, self-government, and that requisite requirement. If the ACLU desires to enforce some unwritten mandate for the destruction of symbols, they must be obligated to do it equally without discriminating against any particular type of spiritual symbol over another or not at all. Okay. Now, this starts the framing of the debate, because we're changing the debate, aren't we? Okay? Now, what's going to happen before the election? Well, here's the first volley, and I'll read you the first volley. Now, what's going to happen? We're going to be purchasing some media space, and little full-page ads ought to do it. And here's the first blast. And think about what we talked about this afternoon, because this is exactly what you have to do if you want to at least take a swing at these folks. This is a letter to the local newspaper, and it's captioned, "We live in a constitutional republic, not a democracy." Dear editor,
Being a fellow supporter of retaining the Stowe City seal, it is tempting to accept the dialogue and logic expressed in a letter to the editor from a certain Stowe City Council person arguing democracy and majority rule as being valid reasons for supporting and retaining the city seal. Now understand, this council person wrote this letter to the editor that we are responding to defending the seal. Okay? He was one of the people who voted to retain it. The problem was, he has definitionally set the stage for its own destruction by using definitions and terms that are totally inaccurate. Because he said that democracy and majority rule are valid reasons for supporting retaining the seal. I continue. Lest we fall deeper into error, it must be remembered that in the United Small U States of America, okay, and they have to print this exactly right because we're buying the space. They can't edit this and put capital U. It's going to be a small U. That the United States of America was founded as a, quote, constitutional republic, unquote, unquote. The, quote, government, unquote, of the United States of America is the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. The, quote, government for the state of Ohio is the Constitution for the state of Ohio. The, quote, government for Summit County, where Stowe is located, is the Summit County Charter. And the, quote, government for the city of Stowe is the Stowe City Charter. It should never be forgotten that the most important, quote, officer, unquote, in the land is who? Who said that? Wrong. Another one. Who? Ah, who said that? It should never be forgotten that the most important, quote, officer in the land is the, quote, private citizen, unquote. This assertion is taken from a quotation from the late, great Chief Justice Brandeis, the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. Remember what Bill said about usually when it gets up to the Supreme Court, they usually do the right thing? Okay, Chief Justice Brandeis understood the Constitution for the United States of America when he said that, didn't he? The private citizen had relegated certain powers to the city, to the county, to the state, and to the nation, retaining all other powers not otherwise relegated to him or herself. Right? The governing authority is that of law. If the majority of citizens who live in the city of Stowe believe it appropriate to kill this particular council person who sent in this letter, those citizens would be prohibited from doing so, even though the majority of them had so decided, all because of the rule of law. Said rule of law being grounded in certain unalienable rights, notice the word unalienable, not inalienable, such rights having been endowed upon the private citizen by their creator. To quote Lenin, one of the most notorious communists of all time, quote, democracy is indispensable to socialism, unquote. Democracy soon degenerates into, quote, mob rule, unquote, which in turn degenerates into anarchy, which in turn forms the foundational basis for the formation of the communist state. Total control is on the, quote, left. Total lack of control is on the, quote, right. The Nazis, communists, and international socialists believe in, quote, total control of the private citizen, unquote, and are on the far left, while those who favor pure democracy believe in, quote, total lack of control of the private citizen, unquote, and are on the far right. The pure democratic position equals, quote, no control, and, quote, no control, unquote, equals, quote, anarchy. In the, quote, middle, unquote, between the far left position and the far right position is our, quote, constitutional republic, where individuals and government entities must be and are controlled by the rule of law. Those of us who understand these concepts, ideals, and principles as promulgated by our founding fathers adhere to the proposition that freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and the right to self-govern are retained by the, quote, individual armed sovereign. And we're injecting something more into this, aren't we? Remember, the ACLU started out and still is about disarmament. The individual armed sovereign, known as the, quote, private citizen, said freedoms having been endowed by the Creator upon the private citizen as part of the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and property not otherwise relegated to any governmental entity. Governments are empowered only to protect and defend these freedoms. This is the constitutional basis for retaining the Stowe City seal. The use of any other logic serves only to create even more confusion. The dialectic espoused by the likes of the ACLU can be defeated, but only with clear thinking, logic, and historically accurate legal reasoning. That's the first volley. Now that's going to go into the local newspaper about 2 weeks before the election.
Are you going to be allowed to throw the thing in about the ACLU's history?
Absolutely. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our full pages that we're buying. See, we don't expect anything for nothing here. A lot of mistakes groups make is that they try to get the press to give them space. You know, you try to get them to say, well, you got to understand, you send a letter into the editor, and you've given it to the editor, and they can edit that letter. If you buy the space, and you put together the ad, and you pay for it, they got to print it the way you print it, the way you put it together, don't they? Otherwise, they're in breach of contract. So if they agree to print this stuff, they're going to have to print it. Now, I couldn't go to Knight River and do this, but I certainly can go to my local paper and do it. So we're going to choose our medium very carefully here. And we're going to use that educational process. Now, that's one volley. There'll be other volleys about the ACLU. There's going to be other volleys about constitutional freedom and all different kind of things that we can get in there to try to educate folks. Now, yeah, comes the election. We'll see what happens. Now, look, if we lose, we lose, right? Hey, we participated in the democratic process and we lost. Okay. But we educated. Right. Now, every time you have an opportunity to educate, you've got to do it. You have to use every single thing that comes across your desk as an opportunity to educate people. People have forgotten who the most important officer in the land is. You know, it's funny, I saw this little clip. You know, I carry one of those little PageNet beeper things, and they have the little CNN news rolling on that. Well, I turned that on one day, and I'm flipping through that thing, and doggone it, didn't have that quote from Chief Justice Brandeis on there. So I jotted it down, and we checked it to make sure that he really said it. And we used that. And I asked that question to people. I started dialogue in my office now. I say, hey, who holds the highest office in the land? Oh, you wouldn't believe what they tell me. Bill Clinton usually comes to mind. And then Alan Greenspan, we get him. We get the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, we get him. Let's see, who else have we got? Speaker of the House, I've gotten that one. I said, well, what country do you live in? Well, I live in the United States. I said, oh, okay. You don't live in Russia, right? No. And you don't live in Cuba, right? No. Who holds the highest office in the land in Cuba? Oh, that's easy, Castro. But who holds the highest office in the land in Russia? Oh, that's easy, Yeltsin. I said, so you're saying then the person who holds the highest office in the land in the United States is Bill Clinton, right? I say, yeah, I'm pretty confident about that. Pretty confident. I say, well, and then I get into an explanation of the fact that the private citizen holds the highest office in the land, and that because of the unalienable rights granted by the Creator, we have given the government certain powers in certain areas only, retaining everything else to that citizen. And then I explain about the militia. Because, of course, the militia, as you know, that's bad news. You know, everybody wants to talk about militia. I say, you know, how old are you? And they tell me. And I say, well, you know, you're in the militia. I'm not in the militia. I said, oh, yes, you are. And then we quote a little more chapter and verse and explain to them about the armed sovereign and why the sovereign is armed. And the reason why that little, and I have a constitution hanging in my conference room, it's on a frame, and I point to it, and I say, see that over there? I said, that's the government, right there. I said, you're uncomfortable with what's going on in Washington? Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable. I said, well, think about it for a minute. If the armed sovereign is giving in, giving up, rolling over, compromising every single day, going into courts, saying, yeah, I did it, who was that out there that mentioned to me that little statement that the judge asked at the very end before he passed his sentence? Yeah.
Elocution.
Explain that. Now's your chance. Come up here. I want you to explain elocution to these folks. Because This is what happens. Now, if you're ever in court, just before sentence is pronounced, you see the judge say, do you have anything to say? Now, what do you think he's doing? The defendant thinks he's saying, well, gee, I guess I'm supposed to say I'm sorry. Or maybe I'm supposed not to say anything, because if I say anything, it's going to get worse for me. Come on up here. Introduce yourself. Explain elocution to these folks.
Elocution is, my name is Jack Walgardo. I'm from Chicago. Somebody would talk to me. This little tidbit has just surfaced recently in our research through the courts. And what we found is that whenever you go through the court process, when you wind up in jail for whatever the reason, in every case, bar none, they need your permission to put you there. They need your permission to get you into court. They need your permission to prosecute you. And they need your permission to finally put you in jail. Now, this, as Mr. Cooper has said many times, is granting jurisdiction. Well, even if you have granted jurisdiction and you're up to here, you still have one last resort. And it's in the law book. You'll find it in Black's Law 6 and 4, so far I've seen it. It's a little term called elocution. And the judge will ask you, after sentence is pronounced, 4 years, whatever, do you have anything to say before you're processed and you're out? And at this time, you have to speak up and cite the reason why you do not agree with the sentence. And you speak it, and the proceeding will continue, okay? And in a recent decision, 3 people were sentenced off for a common crime, and they all got the same sentence, so much time and served. But the guy that spoke up using the right of elocution, which is just a little bit of blurb in there, stayed the prison term and got out with just a fine. You see, they still got to get your permission to put you in jail. Look it up, it's in Black's Law, and then do a research back on it. It's the last resort. You don't want to get this far. Basically, you don't want to get into court. But it's a term that they use. They need your permission all the time to continue on. Because we've been cheap, and we haven't been checking our duty rosters, what we're supposed to be doing, we find out we volunteer all the way through the complete process, from beginning to end.
You're missing one important point. Why do they have your permission?
Why do they need your permission?
Why?
Well, because you're the one that's providing the case, not them.
What's the
paperwork? Okay, well, if you go back to the original paperwork, they have not prosecuted you. They prosecuted you in the uppercase under the nom de guerre. The nom de guerre is your war name. Your real name is spelled in upper and lower case. When your name is spelled in all upper case, that's not you. That's the persona, the person, the artificial entity, the corporation, if you want, of the person.
So why do you do that?
Oh, it's against the law. It's against their law to prosecute you. If they were to... If they fill out the document correctly and put your real name on the summons or on the complaint, they grant jurisdiction to you, and now you're in charge of the court.
And how do you get jurisdiction?
Because
you're the sovereign.
Exactly. They will not put your name ever on a driver's license or on any of these legal documents, because when they do, they're recognizing you as the power. Otherwise, they got you in a fiction which comes out of the Roman law.
What about your right first and middle name? Remember?
Oh, for those of you that don't know your name, your name is your first name and your middle name. My name is Jack Francis. My last name, which we call Lattice Gualiardo, does not belong to me. That is my family name. My real name is Jack Francis. Gualiardo is the family name. I'm the only Jack Francis in the family, but everyone else is a Gualiardo. This is your Christian appellation at law.
Very good.
Okay, thank you. But I think, Rickner, that the point we're trying to make is respecting the perspective from which we come. We are the sovereign. Do we have responsibility? certainly we have responsibility. That's what this discussion was about that Bill talked about all afternoon, about the definition of freedom and why I think we went around the room and talked about that. But the sovereign being the...
That's it, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. This is The Voice of Freedom. What you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, was 1 hour of a 2-hour lecture. Be sure and listen, stay tuned, for the release date of the audio tapes and the videotapes of the 97 conference. Get yourself educated. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
Stay tuned now for all oldies most of the time. Only the best of the very best of the music of generations gone by. Only right here on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.